Hey friend, do you wish that there was a way to have better energy, good periods, and balanced hormones without birth control or complicated meal plans and a million supplements? I know what it feels like to feel so tired in the middle of the day that it's hard to make it through without coffee and to be counting the minutes until the kids go to bed. I've been there. I know what it's like to have hormone issues like bad periods, acne, and mood swings, and to feel like the answers you're getting are just not aligned with the way you want to take care of your body, or they're super unrealistic for a busy mom. So imagine if you had a step-by-step blueprint, literally someone telling you exactly what you need to do to nourish your body in a way that was simple and gave you the energy you need to not only keep up with your kids, but to feel like you have something left over to pour into yourself at the end of the day. Girl, it's awesome. That's why I created my signature course, Nourish Your Hormones. I teach you in the course how to nourish your body for thriving energy and balanced hormones in a way that's actually sustainable long-term, which means that you no longer are going to have to go on a Whole30 every single January or try to find a new diet that works for you over and over again because you actually feel confident and sustainable in the food that you're eating right now. You'll be able to take simple steps forward at your own pace and feel clear and confident in what your body needs in this season. And you'll walk away with better energy and happier hormones all month long, be able to finally stop Googling hormone balanced diets and just eat real good food that's working for your body. So if you're ready for those clear and simple steps to get you good energy and better periods in a way that truly will work for you as a busy mom, guys, remember, I have 3 kids of my own. This can't be complicated. I have a bonus for you if you are ready to enroll in the next couple of days. We'll be going through the course live together in November. So in addition to the DIY course, that means you get to do things at your own pace and that you have lifetime access to, you're also going to get the chance to go through it in more of a live version and have my support and coaching as you go through the course with other women. And so what that means is that you'll have weekly Q&As with me and you'll have weekly emails to give you assignments of modules so that you don't get stuck in the course and not ever finish it. So all of this is available to you when you enroll by November 2nd. I have the link in the show notes and it's abundant-lifewellness.com/nourishyourhormones for all the details. I would love to see you be able to improve your energy and your period so you can finally feel like yourself again. And this is the way to do it. Welcome to the Happily Hormonal Podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, you're in the right place. My name is Leisha Drews, registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner turned holistic hormone coach. And after going through my own hormone journey and having my 3 babies, I actually believe that our hormones are one of the greatest gifts that we've been given as women. And that no matter what you've been told, it's possible for you to have thriving energy, good periods, and a stable mood all month long. And I am here to show you the way. I think it's time to change the narrative around words like hormones and hormonal and start to reclaim the power that we truly have as women, which is the power to change not only our own health, but the health of all of our family for generations to come. Hormone balance doesn't have to feel hard. It can actually feel simple and fun when we do it in a way that aligns with how our bodies were made. If you're ready to start trusting your body again and feeling really good in that beautiful body that you've been given, then grab yourself a yummy drink and maybe a snack and let's do this. Hello and welcome back to the Happily Hormonal Podcast. I have Heather here today and we are feeling spicy because we are going to talk about birth control, which is one of our favorite things to trash talk, basically. With that being said, we both come from a medical background. We are educated in birth control and really our heart with this conversation is just to like really empower you and let you know what birth control does in your body, what other options you have, and really let you make an informed decision because both of us are so passionate about informed consent in healthcare. And I think you can only truly have informed consent when you're actually informed. And so this is just really a conversation about birth control. It's not all trash talk, I promise. And we're really just going to dive into what it does in your body and what you really need to know and what we wish we knew before we took birth control.
Yeah. And I think to hear our hearts too, of like, we're not coming from a place of, oh, birth control is just horrible. I think there's a narrative out there that we really feel like we are battling against that we want you to understand because chances are you are being pushed on birth control for potential reasons that are not necessarily accurate. So just like mama bears who don't want their kids believing drugs are cool, we're here to do the same when it comes to birth control.
Exactly. So when we're talking about birth control, number one, I want to disclaim, we're not giving you medical advice here. We're not telling you to stop taking it. We're not telling you to start taking it. That is 100% your personal decision. You can talk to your doctor about it if you want to get off of it, and you can find out how to do that safely. We're not here to tell you to do that. Truly, we just want to inform you. So when we're talking about birth control, we're talking about hormonal birth control specifically. So that can be the pill, that can be the NuvaRing, that can be some of the hormonal IUDs, that can be the Nexplanon. There's multiple different types of hormonal birth control. And with those hormonal birth control, they either contain synthetic progesterone, which is called progestin, and estrogen, synthetic estrogen, or some of them are just progestin. Something that I hear a lot that I think is a kind of a common misconception is that someone is on a low dose of birth control and they feel like that's better. Their doctor told them that and they're like, oh, well, it's just a low dose. So, I mean, I would feel better about that too, right? Than a high dose. And the truth is, the low dose is kind of a gimmick, in my opinion, because when you're having a low dose of those hormones, it's still preventing your own hormone cycle. So,
and hitting those receptors less effectively. So essentially, with the low dose, depending on your ability to process through birth control, you could actually have more symptoms on a low dose. And then the alternative would be, okay, well, let's give you a higher dose. But things like your gut microbiome, your gut function, your metabolism overall are going to determine if you can handle that high dose well, you know, additionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I just want to say, like, that low dose is not necessarily a better option or like a safer option. It just may sound like it.
Yeah. Sorry, Leisha, let me interject right there. I did want to mention one thing about that low dose, because I think when we're going to go deeper into talking about what birth control does, but a lot of times the reason people start to have symptoms or essentially can even experience long-term symptoms from birth control is because their hormone system gets turned off when they are on birth control. So you're kind of mimicking a perimenopausal state or a menopausal state, and even a low dose will still do this. So I think that's the other piece of, like, yeah, you're getting less, but low dose still means your hormone system is turned off.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a pharmacist and an expert on medications, tell us exactly how birth control works and, like, why it's given to prevent pregnancy, but also, like, how it actually shuts off your hormone system.
Yeah. So we have this thing in our bodies that a lot of medications utilize, and it is called a negative feedback loop. And the most simple way to explain that is that when your body has something that hits receptors for a hormone. And so think of receptors as a fancy word of like a parking spot. So all of your organs, all of your cells have these little parking spaces. When estrogen comes and pulls in its parking spot, that actually will send a signal to the brain that says, oh, estrogen's here. You don't need to make any more of her. She's here. We're good. Right? What happens over time is that when you're taking a synthetic form of estrogen, all of your little parking spots get full. So the body says, oh, don't make any more estrogen. Like, it basically sends signals to the brain to shut down ovulation. And so what happens is you stop ovulating month by month, and your body just becomes dependent on the birth control pill filling up those parking spots. So then what happens when you take your sugar pill for, you know, 3 to 7 days every month is that the parking spots are empty. And so when your parking spots are empty, the body kind of is like, what just happened? And usually that's going to signal a shedding of your uterine lining because the parking spots are empty. And so then that sends a signal to the brain, and the brain starts thinking, oh my gosh, our parking spots are empty. Like, should we start creating more of these hormones? Well, it takes time to create hormones. And usually your sugar pills are about 3 to 7 days. And so you're going to start taking those synthetics again, and the brain's going to get that new signal that's like, oh, never mind. They showed up for work again. Don't make them. So that's kind of how birth control works. It's shutting down ovulation completely, which means you are not making your own forms of estrogen or progesterone. So here's the kicker, is that you have these things sitting in your parking spots and they are kind of working because they're sending signals to your brain. But what they are not doing is providing you with the same benefits that the hormones your body makes will give you. So something like a synthetic estrogen can have a lot of influence on things like insulin levels and can be broken down in a different way inside of the gut. We see a lot of things that can change with the hormone that you make versus the hormone that you have been given that you're taking. And so the other thing comes with progesterone. It's so, so important to know that progestins inside of synthetic birth control are not progesterone. And so they come and sit in these parking spots, and rather than lower stress hormones and increase metabolism and do all these other really amazing things your body's natural progesterone does, they are progestin. So they look just similar enough to make it into the parking spot, but they do no other benefits. So this is why someone who's on birth control can struggle with things like acne and mood swings and depression and anxiety, because they're taking a synthetic progesterone that's hitting those parking spots, but then their body's natural progesterone can't get in the parking spots and they can't make any of it because they're on the birth control. So this is kind of how over time, number one, birth control can have side effects, but also how your body can kind of miss out on the benefits that your natural hormones give it.
Yeah. I love that. And I love your analogies. You always come up with the best one, like the parking spots. It's just,
yeah. And another huge thing about this, sorry, I get excited, is that when you don't have your natural progesterone, remember that helps keep estrogen in balance. So now you don't have that. So you have all the synthetic estrogen your body has to break down. And then you don't have, you know, the right support to break it down and to help your body to manage it well. And the brain's being told, hey, don't make the stuff that helps. So you just kind of become really dependent on these synthetics, and they just don't do the same thing for your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something that I want to mention too is I'll have people tell me pretty often, like, well, with birth control, I have, you know, 28 day cycles and I have a regular period. That's because of what Heather was just talking about. It doesn't mean things are good in your body and that your body's doing that on its own. It's because you're having a withdrawal bleed from the hormones when you're on those sugar pills, and then you're getting those synthetic hormones again. And so then your body doesn't bleed again until you get on the sugar pills again. So I just want to mention that because it's easy to think, oh, my hormones are balanced when I'm on birth control. But no, it's just the signaling that those hormones make.
Yeah. And that synthetic estrogen is still building your uterine lining. So that's why birth control can sometimes be helpful for people with endometriosis, because your body is making a controlled amount, or is receiving a controlled amount of estrogen to build that uterine lining, so you don't see an overproduction. However, that does not indicate that, number one, you're truly having cycles. And then for some people, depending again on gut and genetics, the synthetic estrogens can create an overabundance of building this uterine lining, or can, you know, kind of change the dynamics of that environment in a way that's not beneficial either.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so when we're talking about using birth control for birth control, the primary way that it works is by preventing ovulation. It also has a couple of backup methods. It decreases your cervical fluid, and you're not, you know, having those estrogen spikes that generally would cause cervical fluid to be there, which is it helps you be more fertile when you have cervical fluid, because the sperm needs to live in that cervical fluid to make it in your body until ovulation. So that's kind of the second method. And then also it does thin your uterine lining to some extent. So if you did happen to ovulate, you did happen to get some sperm up in there and conceive and have that egg be fertilized, it would potentially not be able to implant, which in my book is a concern for kind of like, it can be called an abort efficient. And so for people who are pro-life, like I am and Heather is, that's a concern for me. And that was a concern when I took birth control back in the day when I first got married. So I just want to mention that, because I think that's always really helpful to know. So when we talk about birth control to prevent conception, that's how it works. That's why it works a pretty big percentage of the time. Okay, so those are the reasons that you would want to take birth control to prevent pregnancy. But another really big percentage of people are taking birth control, maybe still to prevent pregnancy, but also because of hormone symptoms, which are going to be things like hormonal acne. I took it for hormonal acne. Going to be things like bad periods, heavy periods, irregular periods, things like that. We both really believe that that is not necessarily an optimal way to balance your hormones because of what we just said. It doesn't actually balance your hormones. It's more of a band-aid solution. So can you give us just like a little bit more insight into that?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is that birth control will never address what's at the root. So if the root of your hormonal acne is something like low progesterone production or too much testosterone, birth control actually has the potential to worsen those things. So you might see an improvement in your skin when you utilize it because you are altering, again, what is sitting in those parking spots and the job that's happening there. But over time, the chances of that not remaining effective are high. And also, you could be further driving the imbalances that caused your initial symptoms. A huge one I see is irregular cycles and heavy periods that come with like a ton of PMS. And people will use birth control for that. And it's just really interesting to me because if you're having those symptoms, chances are something is happening with your body's ability to break down estrogen or with your body's stress hormones in general. Those are usually some of the two most common causes of those types of symptoms. So when you add a synthetic estrogen on there, you haven't fixed your body's ability to break down and regulate estrogen. You've just put a kind of like, I don't want to say more toxic, but a more difficult to break down form of estrogen in the body. And so while things may look on the outside like they're managed, they're not truly being managed. They're just being controlled in a different way. And the imbalance could potentially be driving further. So a lot of times when I think, hey, somebody's having trouble breaking down estrogen and they're not making enough progesterone, and this is why their cycles are heavy and they have mood swings and they're super irregular. If we add birth control on top of that, we have a system that's not working. We've got a machine that's not working. And rather than fix the machine, we just change the ingredients we put inside the machine and hope the whole thing would work better, right? And we know that's not going to be the case. If something's wrong with the engine in your car, you don't just go put more expensive gas in it. Like, you need to figure out what is wrong with the engine in the car, right? And the potential, anybody would tell you in this car example, I don't even know anything about cars, but hey, if you keep running,
I know, you seem like the car expert today.
If you keep running that car engine without fixing this problem, you're going to have a bigger problem later, right? How many times I can like picture my grandpa saying this to me, like, if you keep doing that without fixing it, you're going to end up, you know, in a spot you don't want to be. And so that's what happens with birth control. And then a lot of times, you know, we kind of see, regardless of why you've started it, if you eventually are going to get to a place where you want children or you want more children, then once you come off of birth control, the system is still broken. So the chances of you having those same symptoms again are very, very high. And then when that happens and you present it to your doctor, usually it's recommended you go back on birth control. But again, we're still missing the whole fact of like, hey, there's a system that can be fixed. We just aren't fixing it. And so it's just kind of creating this evidence for you that you have to be on birth control to have regular cycles, or you have to be on birth control to see your hormones regulated, when that's not true. It's just that the birth control is really doing something totally separate that's forcing your body into doing something. I think about like, if, you know, I was in jail and somebody was making me do something I didn't have a choice, then I would do it, right? Versus like saying sorry, I think about like my kids, versus like if I truly felt sorry and like truly had the choice to do something, those actions are going to be different. You're going to see a different response. It's really similar in your body.
Hey friends, sorry to interrupt, but I have something new and free for you. So it's going to be worth it. I just created a private pod course that is going to teach you all about how to actually balance your blood sugar for happier hormones and more stable moods and energy. And I'm giving away the first two episodes completely free. All you have to do is sign up and grab those, and you will have complete access right away. Your link is in the show notes, and I will see you in there. Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the side effects that generally women are not told to make an informed decision about birth control. So I'm going to start with the gut and the liver. And this isn't just like the general side effects that we would normally hear, like, oh, you may have spotting or you may whatever. Like, these are more long-term, in-depth things that can happen. But with the gut and the liver, birth control, you've got synthetic estrogen. You've also, in most birth controls, you have some iron as well. Both of those things need to be detoxified out of the liver, and you want them to be at certain levels in your body. Both estrogen and iron can also be stored in your tissues when you have too much of them, or your liver is not being able to detoxify them very well. That process is somehow compromised, or you just have too much in the body. And so over time, estrogen and iron in birth control and just the way that it works on your body as a whole can actually slow down your liver function a little bit, or you can just kind of have, I like to use the analogy of like a toxin bathtub. So right now we're talking about estrogen and iron. If your bathtub is overflowing, you have to stop the flow in as well as unplug the tub. And so, you know, even if you're not overflowing yet, if you start taking birth control and your detoxification processes are not where they should be, it's really easy to start to get into that overflow mode. And so with estrogen and with iron and birth control, those are the main things that I see really affect your liver. And unfortunately, because of all of the toxins in our environment already and all of the things in our foods and just like synthetic hormones and estrogens literally everywhere, a lot of us do have dysfunction in the liver to start with. And then when we are taking birth control, it just kind of like compounds that. And so the liver is really important for thyroid hormone conversion. It's really important for moving many of our toxins in our body. It's really important for blood sugar control, which plays into energy. There's so much that your liver does. And so it is really important to be aware of how medications work on your liver. Same thing with your gut. Your gut can be affected by birth control. The bacterial balance in your gut specifically can be affected by birth control. And so when bacterial balance is affected, it also affects the bacterial, or not the bacterial, the gut lining. And the gut lining plays a really big part in how you absorb your nutrients and how much inflammation you have in your body. So with those things being said, like, we have to realize that our birth control is not just working on our hormones. And so it really is important to think about the long-term effects, especially for those of us who are on birth control for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, right? It's a long time to be on a medication like that. And even in a shorter term, like taking it for a year or a couple of years, there can still be changes in the body.
Yeah. And so one thing too, thinking, going back to like, hey, why does birth control not fix it? From what you just said, like the gut and the liver are usually two of the biggest things that cause imbalances with estrogen anyway. So when I have somebody who's having heavy cycles, or they have PCOS and they're not having regular cycles, or they're bleeding super, super heavy, the first thing I'm thinking about is their ability to detox estrogen, which involves the gut and the liver. And so if those are the pieces of the system that are out of balance, and then we add something that stresses out the gut and the liver even more on top of it, again, it might look on the surface like things are improving, but actually you are just digging a deeper hole that's doing the opposite of what I think most of us truly want, which is to see regulation in this system over time. And then the other thing that I think is really important to keep in mind is that the liver has a ton of functions, but it can only do one at a time. And so adding another job on the liver's plate, like regulating birth control, is going to allow it to, it's going to have to spend less time doing other things that it wants to do, like stabilize your blood sugar and make your thyroid hormones. So now you're kind of like double whamming, you know, the whole system, because when you're, I just think it's so cool that like our liver is so good at what it does, but when it's overloaded, it has to prioritize what's the most important. And something like breaking down any medication is going to take over that function initially. And then something else, you know, that I think is really important to hit on is how it influences our mood. And I don't think a lot of people know how much estrogen interacts with serotonin. And obviously we talked about the gut. Estrogen also interacts with the gut, and you have specific bacteria in your gut that break down estrogen, and you need different and new amounts of them when you are breaking down synthetic estrogen versus the estrogen that your body makes. So you're getting this kind of change in the gut environment, which matters because about 85% of your neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, the precursors to neurotransmitters that control things like mood and anxiety, are formed in your gut. So you're getting hit in two places from birth control's interaction with your neurotransmitters and your mood hormones. And I think this matters because a lot of people say birth control makes me crazy. And you take that to your doctor and they actually gaslight you into thinking you are making that up. And then that's not the case. And when we look scientifically at the interactions that birth control hormones and these types of synthetics have with other neurotransmitters and hormones that control our moods, our mood swings, our rage, our anger, like all of those things that actually our brain has a response to, birth control definitely is at the center of it. And this is why, you know, it's not just birth control either. It's that as a female, all of your hormones interact with all of these places for a very specific reason. And it's interesting because doctors will recognize it when it comes to pregnancy, but they won't recognize it when it comes to just like hormone balance in general. And I just think it's so wild. I'm like, what do you mean? If it works in pregnancy, they have the capacity to communicate when we're not pregnant. Like the parking spots are there either way. So I just think that's an important thing to remember too, that if you are feeling like, hey, it makes me crazy, there's a reason for that. It means your body is struggling to really make the neurotransmitters and to have the benefits of your natural hormones because it's having kind of this influence in a negative way from the synthetics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I felt definitely crazy on birth control. And I was told, interestingly enough, when I had an IUD put in, I did all the birth control guys. When I had an IUD put in, they were like, well, if you have more headaches or mood swings, then let us know because it can be a side effect. So I come back like a month and a half later and I'm like, no, I think I'm actually crazy and I'm having headaches. And she was like, no, that's not the birth control.
Yeah. They do that with weight gain too. They like gaslight us into thinking like, oh, birth studies show birth control doesn't gain weight. And I literally look and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like studies also show that estrogen and progesterone influence weight and metabolism. And so it just is a little wild to me.
Yeah. And when we're talking about this gaslighting, by the way, we're really not against general OB practitioners, OBGYNs. Like we're just sharing experiences that we've had. And unfortunately, experiences that I get DMs about all the time, that I talk to my clients about all the time. Like we're not just out here to trash talk by any means. There are great practitioners who are in the OBGYN space. And there's also a lot of truth to what we're saying.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not even like practitioners either. Like it's anybody who, you know, you can have a concern and it just gets shifted and kind of you leave walking. I hate the word gaslighting and you reminded me of that, but you like walk away feeling like I can't trust myself and my intuition was wrong and what I'm feeling isn't true and I'm making it up in my head. And that, regardless of who's telling you it, they could have good intentions in telling you those things. However, I think sometimes we know when like our body, like we have that intuition and it's there for a reason. And we know when our concerns are being heard and we're kind of coming to a mutual solution and when we're just being shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the last thing side effect wise that I want to talk about today before we wrap up is minerals. So let's just like do a quick little recap of like nutrients and minerals and how birth control affects those.
Yeah. So in general, when we think about how our body is able to, well, you even hit on earlier about the iron and kind of like the estrogen interaction with iron. And then thinking about how birth control itself can change again, like our gut microbiome and our gut lining, this is going to change your body's ability to kind of hold on and break nutrients up in the way that they're designed to. And so when we see that happen, we can see a change in our mineral status, as well as stress hormones. I find that stress hormones are like, I shouldn't say increase significantly, but I do find that some women particularly experience changes in stress levels from birth control because it's just kind of adding a stressor on those organs and on a system that's already like not functioning the absolute best. And anytime that is the case, we can see the body use kind of burn through a lot of minerals like magnesium. And then I also think about when you have any synthetic, it requires cells and water and like biochemical pieces of your body to break down those chemicals. And so that can kind of run through our stores of things like B vitamins. And if you don't have enough copper, you're going to have a hard time making B vitamins. And then if you don't have enough B vitamins, you're going to see changes in the way your body can break down synthetic estrogen and how that interaction with serotonin is happening. And it really does kind of, I mean, we could go really deep there, but I think on the most basic level, just kind of understanding that, like, hey, it's not as simple as this new hormone enters your body and your body breaks it down and everything is fine. There can be some deeper pieces there. And then one other thing that we kind of hit on like really quickly when we first started talking was the long-term effects of birth control and AMH. And I know we didn't quite hit it, but I do, AMH is a hormone that can be an indicator of egg quality. And so I see a lot of clients get off of birth control and immediately go to do those like modern fertility test or the Everly Well fertility test, or they go to their doctor to see like, hey, what, well, why am I not getting pregnant? And their AMH levels look horrible. And they all of a sudden get told like, all right, well, you're a candidate for IVF, or yeah, you're in early menopause, or, you know, hey, you essentially don't have the egg quality that you're going to need to have. And I think a lot of times, number one, that can be changed by re-supporting and re-engaging in nutrient support to see those levels change. But also that the longer you're off birth control and the more your body is able to make hormones in a balanced way, the more you're going to see positive changes in that AMH level. So just kind of keep, I just think it's so important for women to know, because a lot of, I see so many come off birth control and see those AMH levels, especially if they're trying to conceive. And then it just feels like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of us asked the question when we got put on birth control, like, can this affect my fertility long-term? And for so long, we were told, absolutely not. Right. Definitely not. Don't worry about it. And unfortunately, we have seen studies come out in the last, honestly, just recently, last couple of years, that show that AMH levels can be affected long-term. And so I think, again, it's just important to know that so that you can make a decision that really serves you and serves your body well. And so with all of that being said, we're actually going to come back for a part two of this episode. And what we're going to be talking about there next week is, what can we do instead of birth control? Like, what are your alternatives, whether you're on birth control for not having babies, or if you're on birth control to help with your hormones? And then if you've been on birth control and you're like, well, crap, because we've been there, then we're going to talk about what to do, like how to start to support your body, whether you're on birth control 2 months ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. There are things that you can do to start to rebuild those nutrients and support your detoxification. And really, all of those are like the basis of what Heather and I both do with our clients all the time. So
yeah,
we'll be doing that next week and we will see you there. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today, for listening, and I hope that you were encouraged and learned something new. If you enjoyed this podcast, would you be willing to share it with a friend and to leave us a review? I believe that every woman deserves to understand her body and feel great in it, and you can help me in this mission by sharing the podcast. If you're also feeling like you're ready for the next step and you're really ready to dive in your hormone journey, my course, Nourish Your Hormones, is created specifically for you. It's a step-by-step blueprint to increase your metabolism, restore energy, and have better periods and mood every single month. I would love to connect with you, so come over and join me on my Instagram page at Leisha Drews and send me a message if you have questions or just want to tell me something that you enjoyed about this episode. I can't wait to meet you.